Last Looks crew, I've said it once and I will say it again and again and again. The PAs on a film set can make or break my day. So today we are chatting about strengthening the PA and hair and makeup artist's relationship. To optimize productivity on set, production assistants and artists need to try and have a positive working relationship. Having a good rapport mitigates misunderstanding and enhances the interaction between these key operations on set. Deliberate efforts to foster mutual respect, understanding, and swift resolution of conflicts help smooth the path for achieving common objectives, leading to an overall more efficient production process and happier day. The person I wanted to speak to about this is a PA that I would love to have on every project, and I know one day I look forward to not only working with her, but for her. She always has a smile to give you, a helping hand, and is simply put, kick-ass at her job. Her name is Rachel Obering, and she shares some really insightful information during this chat today. Okay, have you applied for the Last Looks mentoring program? No? Don't need a mentor? Well, maybe you wouldn't mind spreading the word and share our how to apply post on Instagram. That would be ace. Applications close April 6th, so spread the word, especially if you know any up-and-coming hair and makeup artists that could use some guidance with a mentor. And we have our next live Q&A coming up on April 6th with makeup designer Tina Raisler-Kerwin. I worked with Tina on Blonde, transforming Ana de Armas into Marilyn Monroe, but Tina has done so many incredible films like Boogie Nights, Magnolia, Punch Drunk Love, and Top Gun Maverick. So get your ticket, submit your questions for Tina, and we'll see you April 6th. Link in show notes below this episode. Okay, that's enough of that. Let's kick into it. My name is Jamie Lee, a hairstylist working in film, and this is the Last Looks podcast, a show where I normally catch up with hair and makeup artists working in the film industry around the world. But today, I'm chatting to first team PA, Rachel Obering. Let's go.
And now, our feature presentation.
Pitch it up.
Last Looks. Rolling.
And action.
Welcome to the Last Looks podcast, Rachel.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course, I'm excited. Now, you are a PA and a freaking wonderful one at that. She's like, what? So much so that I would recommend you in a heartbeat and have done multiple times. You're very good at what you do. You are easy to work with, always calm, always smiling, so helpful. And I always feel like you keep me well informed on what's happening, which is a big fucking deal when we don't wear radios.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to talk to you mainly about your role as an on-set first team PA.
Yeah.
And I know how much it sucks when the relationship between you and hair and makeup isn't great.
Yeah.
And I guess I wanted to shed light on what your actual role on set is and how we can help that relationship be more harmonious and we aren't taking advantage or overstepping, because I know it happens and I'm probably guilty of it myself. And I know I've pulled my team up on things a few times also. So let's just start with, what is your role when you are a first team PA?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
a lot. Generally, like in the morning, I'll start in base camp with our base camp PA when I'm doing first team and kind of help everyone get started. And then I'll try to go up to set early to scout out a spot for hair and makeup, scout out a spot for cast chairs and holding, and just get a sense of the set, especially if we're on location, like where the vans are going to drop off, how long it is to walk in. If we're carrying things, is it going to be hard to get through certain doorways or et cetera, anything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of do a test run. And then once cast and hair, makeup, wardrobe are traveling, I catch everyone. I'll lead them in to where I just found, and all the while announcing to the ADs and everybody that people are landing, people are here and stuff like that. And then another thing is props, getting them connected with the actors, wires with sound. Yeah. And then just making sure everyone has the sides that they need for that day, any call sheets if they didn't get them in base camp. And yeah, once everyone's there, then it's a lot more, and in my experience, it's a lot more talking to hair and makeup specifically about what the shot is, who's coming up next, who needs to be touched up, how long camera needs until they're ready, if they need touches on the actors, now's a good time to do it, et cetera, stuff like that. And then other responsibilities apart from hair and makeup, oftentimes I'm still put in a lockup. Even if there's no actors in the shot, I'll still be working with the PAAD team and just general set stuff like that. And yeah, I think that's a brief overview. And then when we move on from a shot, just making sure hair and makeup and costumes know what's coming up next, what our schedule's looking like for Jamie Lee, when lunch is.
I know. I always have the most annoying questions for Rachel. It's just like, what are we doing? Which means, what are we shooting? What's happening?
Yeah.
I always want to know what's happening on set. When's lunch? And when's she lunch? Could easily just go, you need to learn how to count. but I will say that I come from a country that on the call sheet, it lists when lunch is. And then what's my other question? There's normally a third one. Oh, when are we?
Well, you always ask where crafty is.
Oh, yeah. It's all about food.
It's still food. But that is actually another thing that I always try to do is tell not only hair and makeup, but also anyone on the crew, including actors, where the bathrooms are and where craft service is, so that I don't have to always be showing people throughout the day because that is time consuming.
Yeah.
You also ask, when are we finishing? That's your...
Which is a ridiculous question because I know when my husband asks, when do you think you're going to wrap? I'm like, what a stupid question.
Yeah, like, who knows? Nobody knows. Not even the AD knows.
I think it's almost kind of like I should just start being a bookie on set to kind of like, I'm just taking, place your bet. When what time do you think we're going to be finishing?
Yes, exactly. Your wager. Place your wager.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so that's a lot.
Yeah. And that's definitely not all of it.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination. And then, of course, if we need help setting up, if we need to do a quick change or something like that, then you've always sorted out power and all that kind of stuff as well.
Big thing, like finding a room where if we have to do a change on set, cast can change their clothes, but also... I mean, with you off the top of my head, I know of many situations where we've had to do, like, maybe there's blood involved or some sort of special effect where you're doing resets. So we'll have a space. I'll figure out a space where we have power if you need power for any hair tools and a table and a mirror and lights. And then anything that costumes might need, et cetera. So, and monitors so that you can actually see what's going on. Like there's all sorts of setup stuff that I deal with.
Yeah, it's a lot. And then you've got your first AD in your ear.
Yes. Like, where are they? What's going on? How long?
Is that normally who you're mainly communicating with in the AD department or is it like the second?
Both. It kind of depends on the ADs and their style. I've worked with some first who in between, when they're not talking, will just turn off their radio and trust that the second will tell them anything that they really need to know. I've also worked with first ADs that are constantly on the radio, kind of never not talking.
Okay.
So it depends on the team. But I would say in my experience, for the most part, it's generally the second that I'll kind of be dealing with more directly. And then they'll share any information. Or the first AD might copy, if I say something on the radio, and then I know that they both know that. But if it's something really important, I'll make sure that, like, even in person, go up to the first AD. If it's something like an issue's going on or someone has to go back unexpectedly to base camp or something that will take up a lot of time, I always make sure eye to eye, you copy me because I don't want to be told that they didn't know ever.
Yeah. The thought of someone, the first AD, being able to just switch off their radio and trust that everything's like, wow, what kind of freedom is that?
Some don't even wear an earpiece, a surveillance. And I'm like, I wish I could do that. That would be lovely.
One day, lady.
One day.
And so just from your experience, like, why do you feel your relationship with the hair and makeup departments is so important?
I think it's always important no matter what PA position I'm in or AD position, but especially when you're doing first team and base camp, but on set, it can be, as so stressful at times, so many moving parts. Your brain is in a million places. And I think having a really good open communication with hair and makeup is so important because it can really make or break your day, not only personally, but also just the timing of everything. If I am getting terrible estimates from hair and makeup and I'm relaying that to the AD and then it's taking way longer, then I'm the one getting the heat for that, or I'm the one that has to explain why to my boss. And so I think just having a relationship where not only are things hopefully for the most part accurate, but things come up and there's issues unexpectedly. So having a relationship where they can come up to you and say, oh my God, Rachel, we didn't expect this to happen. It's going to take us 30 more minutes. I'm so sorry, but we're going to get started on it. We'll make it work. And being team players and having that rapport is so important because it not only makes me feel better just in general to talk to the people, but also then to go to my boss and be able to say, hey, this happened. It's going to delay us. Here's why. We're taking care of it, and then go deal with it. And then also just being team players, working with you. Like there's, you know, we've been on out in the desert at 3 o'clock in the morning where it's negative 10 degrees or it feels like that. And it's crappy for everyone. We're all in that situation. So having teams that are just down to make it work and try their best and hopefully have good attitudes, even on the overnights and miserable conditions, is so important. And it just makes the day smoother. It makes it more efficient and all those things.
Yeah. Do you feel like it helps you in your position to understand what hair and makeup are doing, like technically sometimes?
I personally love to because I like that. Like I love hair and makeup things anyway. But I think yes, because then you don't have to explain a whole thing to me about, you know, this and this and that. Like, I just like to know. And so then I can see, okay, you're getting a hot tool out for, and she's wearing a wig. I understand because I've worked with you and other artists that, okay, this might take a while. And maybe then I don't even really have to ask, how much time do you need? It's kind of like, okay, I know this is a heavy duty reset. I can go talk to the AD about it. So just having a general idea of all of those things technically too, I think helps. And with makeup, it's like if they have a blood splatter that you're going to have to clean up, I understand sometimes that means foundation or their base is also coming off. And so that's going to take time to redo. It's not just like, oh, wipe it off her face, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, we're resetting them back to normal. If there's water involved, you have to dry somebody off or, you know, all those things. I like knowing the technical side of it. I think it helps for sure.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I was just going to say, I definitely don't know a ton, but I think having a knowledge, at least like a base of kind of all those things and understanding and respecting it is part of it too. Just respecting that your guys' job takes time and it's important. And I think that helps too in the relationship.
Yeah. I would say so. There's nothing, I think, in my position worse than someone being like, why does it take that long? And it's just like, oh my God. Okay. You need to just watch me one morning.
Yeah, just observe.
And realize that I'm going as fast as I can. I'm not like standing here with a cup of tea in my hand chit-chatting. Yeah. But yeah, so let's chat about some pet peeves. Some stuff we do or we don't do that we need to be aware of and just, I say, you know, just simply knock that shit off because it's not helpful. So let's go through some of that. What are some things that you see us do pretty commonly, like day to day, that you wish you could just, you know, pull us aside and go, you know what, if you stop doing that, this day could be a lot more joyful.
I think one, and hair, makeup, costumes, all, they're not the only ones guilty of this. It's basically every department I've noticed on set will, especially if we're into a movie or a show and people are comfortable with each other and they know each other, I will become a personal PA for everybody.
Right.
And they're like, okay, Rachel knows what she's doing. She knows where everything is. I'm just going to ask her to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets really annoying. And specifically when I'm doing first team working with hair and makeup, there can be times, you know, we're 4 weeks into a movie and people are comfortable with me and they're like, hey, can you go get me this? Or can you do that? Or, you know, go grab this from Crafty. And when I'm going to Crafty, you know this, I will take orders. I'm happy to go over there. But if it's out of my way or I'm running around, super hectic moment, and someone comes up to me and asks for pretzels from Crafty, I'm going to punch you.
I'm trying to think if I ever do that. I know that some, like, when you say, do you want anything? I'll just be like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that I have asked, but it's normally I'm asking if it's just like, if anybody, like if any of your team are going to be
going
in the next hour, like grabbing something.
Yeah.
Normally when I'm probably the only one there.
Yes.
Because otherwise I'll check in with my team if I can't leave, if they are going soon or can they go. But yeah, I'm certainly, hopefully I'm not demanding stupid shit from you.
I'm not saying this because I'm talking to you. You really don't.
No. I need to, you know, this is for me to check my shit as well.
Yeah.
Not for everybody else.
But there
else,
are some but. Teams that will just kind of treat me like, or anyone on the PA team, that they are just belong to them. And they're like, okay, we need this and this and this, like now. And you're running around trying to get ready for the next shot. So
yeah, and there's six of them sitting.
But no, I don't think you or your team doesn't usually do that to me, I promise.
Okay. Let me know. Keep me posted.
I will.
And what else? So that's that's an understandable one.
Another thing that I've been dealing with more recently is people leaving, like to go to the restroom or to go to Crafty or walking outside to take a phone call and not letting me know or somebody know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that you can't go to the bathroom, obviously, but if things start moving quickly and they're calling for last looks and I can't find you, not only am I getting in trouble, but it's also delaying the whole thing. So I think just making sure if you do have to step off for some reason, letting either the first team PA know or an AD know, somebody. And it sounds kind of silly because you're just stepping outside, but it really, since hair and makeup don't wear radios, it can be really hard to find people sometimes. And I'm like calling you, like, we're calling last looks, where are you? So that's a big one that has happened to me recently a couple times. And they're like, why don't you know where hair and makeup is? How did you lose them? You know, you kind of get the heat for that. So
yeah. I mean, for all those hair and makeup people who think it's funny when PAs lose an actor, just think they've got eyes on you too. So if you sneak off, then they're going to be freaking out about that too.
Yep. And it can be hard on Babylon, for example. You know, there were days where there's 19 cast members. So not only keeping track of those people, but also all of the hair and makeup people and the additional hair and makeup people and where they are and who's on the screen and is their hair and makeup and costumes team close and all that stuff. So it just is helpful to say, hey, I'm going to go to the restroom. If they call for me, that's where I'm at. And it's simple and quick, but it makes a big difference.
Yeah. I think I normally try to get into the habit as well, if I'm leaving set, to let you know and then kind of point to the person, like, that is a person that's going to be looking after the people that I was looking after. So if something quickly happens, it's not like, who's covering for JL? It's just like, I know that it's you. Just communicate.
Simple communication would be great.
I think too, because I coming from New Zealand and hair and makeup, we have radios. We're trusted to have radios. We don't have open mics and trailers or silly things like that. So I hated wearing a radio, but then when I came to LA, I felt so out of the loop. I was just like, as much as I felt the freedom of not having to wear one, I also felt like I'd completely lost control. But then that's, as you were saying, like, can make or break a day. For me, if the PA team are not communicative, then I'm just like, what the fuck is happening? And it just causes my stress levels and anxiety to like peak, because I'm just like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on. And I think
that comes from the fact that you actually care about your job and are good at your job. And I think when I was first starting, I would see first team PA, you know, I'm an additional PA. I don't really know what I'm doing yet, but I tried to observe everyone and I would see first team PAs and also hair and makeup teams not really care to communicate with each other. And as I've gotten more experienced, I look back and I think, how did anything get done? Because if they don't know what's going on and you don't even really know their names, how is this working? Like, did nobody just care about hair and makeup? It's baffling. So yeah, I think it's interesting to see people who don't have good relationships with hair and makeup teams. And then coming from a spot where I have done a lot of first team now,
yeah,
I don't know how people do it, because you guys, a lot of times, are just coming up when the actors come up. You don't necessarily know what the shot even is yet, or things change. You're, like you said, you're not wearing a radio. So if nobody tells you or you can't see the set, how do you know what's going on and who to be looking out for? So, yeah.
And sometimes you're arriving on set, literally putting your bag down and walking into last looks, because it's just like, we're going to shoot right now. And it's just like, oh, hey. Shit. Okay. which is always
here we
fun.
Go.
Yeah. I feel like, I think I've been lucky in the last few times because I've known before starting who the base camp PA is going to be and who the first team PA is going to be. And I've worked with them before. So it's just like, okay, that's easy. But I know that it's normally on first day when I first get to set, I immediately need to know who I'm going to be speaking with for the rest of the job. Cause I'm just like, I think I've kind of kicked myself being, why did I not find this out before? Like, why have I not met this person briefly, like the day before we start shooting, or like they should have maybe, you know, if I had texted them to like already have their phone number or something like that. Cause sometimes you just hit the ground running on set and I'm like, 2 hours into it and haven't really stopped. And I'm just like, who the fuck am I asking for to ask this question? Like, what? Who? What was their name? Oh my God, I can't remember. Where are they? So a note for me, I think I need to be a little bit more onto it when I know that I'm going onto a set where I don't know who it's going to be, actually figuring it out a couple of days beforehand and kind of touching base with them to have their name and number in my phone. So as soon as I get there, I can just be like, okay, I know who my person is that I need to be talking to.
I think another thing too that's helpful with that is like not only having their phone number and their information and just putting a face to a name, but also asking, I'll ask hair and makeup departments that I've never worked with, do you prefer... Because some prefer text only and they don't want me coming into the trailer if I'm doing base camp or on set. You know, they only want to communicate via text most of the time or whatever. I prefer to text and say it in person just so that I have a record of what's going on, because my brain gets mushy throughout the day. And so I can look back and say, oh, this person came to set at this time and they went on. That was a, you know, profile shot, blah, blah, blah. I like to keep track of that just for me.
Yeah.
And so I'll text it a lot of times to hair makeup. If they have their phones, that's helpful. If not, though, it's not. So I try to always also say it in person if I can, so that they know what's going on. But I think, like you're saying, if you have even just a quick, hi, I'm Jamie Lee. Hi, I'm Rachel. And how do you like to, do you prefer text? Do you like no text at all? How do you want to handle this? And just a brief meet and greet can make an enormous difference when you're in the thick of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I was just going to say too that it took me a little minute to, my tolerance level's not very high. but when I was just going to say, just having some patience and understanding, I think that when you are on set and maybe that text has come through or another PA has told us what the next shot is or what's happening, and if somebody else comes over and tells you again, like, don't snap and be like, yeah, we already know.
Yeah.
It's just like,
oh, that's
a good point. It's just like, well, would you rather be told multiple times or not at all? So I think it's just because that would drive me nuts. I'd just be like, oh my God, I've been told this 5 times. Like, shut up. But I, you know, very quickly checked myself and was just like, just say thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Take it.
It's like, yeah,
I've been told before. Like, we know. And it's like, okay, is that helpful? Or I obviously didn't know that you've been told, so it's not me telling you because I think you're dumb. It's just I'm trying to make sure you have the information. So yeah, just like, thank you. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a better way to deal with it because otherwise you just end up getting cross and it's just a waste of energy. But so yes. I would rather be told 10 times than not at all. So
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what else? Give it to me.
Okay.
Come on.
The chair thing. So most, you'll know way more about this than I do, but I've heard, I was told by a makeup artist once that it's in your guys' contracts with your union that you have to be provided a space if you're outside that's shaded or, you know, I don't know what all this, the stipulations are, but a comfortable space basically for you to land. And I have been yelled at once by a makeup artist that I didn't have chairs ready for everybody. And I don't know if that's actually in the rules or not, but I'm used to hair and makeup bringing their own personal chairs, or maybe if they've forgotten it, I'm happy to get a folding chair or something, you know, to help out. But as far as I know, that's not PA responsibility to provide the chairs. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I've never read the contract.
Yeah, but I do not know either at all. I'm terrible with knowing anything to do with our union. Full disclaimer for anybody listening. Sorry. Just when it comes to stuff like that, I don't know. It doesn't, I would assume no. That sounds like more of a cast thing. I haven't really come across that. I understand like having a space or whatever. But chairs, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, but that can be really annoying when I am essentially getting in trouble or, you know, yelled at or scolded about not having chairs ready. And it goes back to saying what I was saying earlier about just keep in mind that my sole responsibility is not only providing for hair and makeup teams. It's also many, many, many other things. So that's a pet peeve. In my opinion and in my experience, most people bring their own chairs or they'll ask for a folding chair on set and it's pretty simple. But that's definitely a pet peeve about chairs. It's like, just bring your own. Just bring your own.
Yeah. And to clarify, because when Rachel sent these through to me to check them out, I was just like, wanted to know. It was just like, it's a personal chair for them to sit on. Like, you're happy to grab a chair for cast to sit on for people to do their hair and makeup.
Yeah. When I set up, I'll usually try to have a station nearby no matter what, even if there aren't big resets, if I have the time. And I'll totally put, you know, a short director's chair there for a cast to sit on or whatever. And I'm, like I said, I'm happy to grab one if someone forgot it in the trailer or it's lost in a van somewhere and we're on location. I can totally grab a chair for people, but it's more just the expectation of like, why didn't you have this for me? Or every day forgetting their chair. It's like, okay, I have enough to keep track of.
Yeah. put your big girl panties on and bring your own chair.
Yeah. Or just wait until I'm calm to get one.
if ever. And how does, if people just simply aren't paying attention, how does that roll into your day?
Recently, actually, I was on a shoot and we kept calling for last looks and hair and makeup was just on their phone. The monitor set up for them. They were in a beautiful location. They had an easy access to set. And we'd called for last looks and nobody moved. And I'm like, do any of you need? And no one said, you know, makeup's good or hair's good, you know, which is fine. If you don't need to go in, then you don't need to go in. But people were just totally not paying attention. And that's so frustrating because then I have to be like, hello, are you good? Do you need to go in? Because I don't want to be told later, we didn't know it was last looks. We didn't know. Nobody told us. I'm like, I absolutely told you. So that's frustrating if people aren't paying attention. If you're good on looks and you don't need to go in there, just a simple thumbs up or hair's good, makeup's good is great. But when people are on their phone, not paying attention, hard to find, like I said earlier, and we're calling for last looks or an actor specifically is requesting for hair or makeup to come in and you're sitting there not paying attention to who's on set, that's so frustrating. And again, just waste time. And then I have to explain to somebody why you weren't there and all of the above. So just simply paying attention. It's like, just be engaged. Try not to be on your phone if you can help it. You know, I know sometimes it's work stuff, but yeah, that can be really, that's a big pet peeve. It's like, hello, like, we're making a movie here.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, anyone on set that's just checked out is not, it's not a good look, really. It's just unprofessional. Just do your job. Yeah.
Totally. Like, why are you here otherwise?
And you were talking about estimates, and I know that I personally struggle with this terribly. I am I think there's something in me, like a wall and broken, that I hate guessing. I hate guessing. I just want to be right. So it's just like, I don't want to give an answer if it's not going to be right. And I for the longest time, I was just like, I'd just guess, like an estimate, just a roundabout. And I'd be like, oh, I don't fucking know. the pressure of like, oh, is the estimate going to be right? Or is it going to be like way off? I don't think my concept of time is very good, maybe. I'm not sure. Or I just don't like to be wrong. But that one is something that I've been struggling with, and I needed to, you know, start actually timing myself to understand how long I take to do just general stuff. So that's tricky. But also, I'm guessing if you give an estimate and then something goes wrong and you're like, oh shit, this is actually going to take me longer, then you need to let somebody know sooner rather than later.
Totally. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. It's more about that, because there's a lot of times, and I know we're mainly sticking to first team, but with Basecamp, it's, I will, on the first week of a project, try to time my own account of chairs. And it's not always super accurate because it's hard to see in the trailer and I'm not standing there. But if you say I need an hour for this person, I'll try to keep track to the best of my ability of how long it actually takes. And then at the end of the week, the second AD and I will be like, okay, you actually only took 30 minutes with this person. Do you still feel like you need an hour? And so I get it, you know, and we get it that that's, it's not always super accurate. And you have to kind of, also people get faster. Like when you're on the show for a long time, a lot of times people will go faster. But for the in between, like on set, you know, if you say I need 10 minutes and then something goes terribly wrong, it's just communicating it. Hey, we ran into this issue. I'm actually going to have to take the wig off or whatever it might be and redo whatever. Just communication is so important. It's not that you're in trouble or we're going to be like, oh my gosh, you can't do that. It's more just so that I can go to the AD and say, hey, we ran into a bump here. We're actually going to need 20 more minutes on this touch up or whatever. Mm. Is that okay? Or just so you know. So that's huge. And it's more less about being super accurate and just keeping people informed about what's actually going on. But I get that. You're like, I need 10 minutes. Oh my gosh, I don't know. Actually, it's 15. Actually, it's 20. Ah!
Yeah. But is it 7 or is it 12 or is it 10? Oh, I don't know. Like I get that in my brain like that much. Like if I tell someone it's just, I'm going to be 7 more minutes. It's just like, am I going to be 7 minutes? Like, or is it going to be
You're
8?
Like timing yourself in your mind.
Yeah. Is it like but I think 7.5?
Yeah. For me, like for touch-ups in between setups or whatever, when I'm doing first team, more than an actual number, I find it really helpful if someone's like, oh, it's going to be quick. If it's a team I've worked with, like you and your team, I know when you say something like that to me, like it's just a quick thing, not even a number. I know, okay, it's probably going to be 5 or less.
Yeah. And normally I think it kind of goes along the lines of, it's not going to take long, Rachel, I promise.
Yeah, I promise. It's just a little thing, I promise. Okay, so 4 minutes. But I know, because I know you and I know how you guys work, it's more important to me, at least, when it's a team that I don't know very well, because I don't know, can they pull it together at the last minute? Are they going to be the type that's like, no, I said 20 and I'm taking my 20, you know, that kind of thing. You just kind of have to get a feel for people. But for me, it's more important to just communicate if things change, and we'll just trust that you'll tell us if something has come up that was unexpected.
Yeah. I don't know if other people work like this, but, and this is something maybe for what you guys do, but if I'm doing something and I've given an estimate of how long it's going to take, and then someone comes to me and says, how much longer?
Yeah.
I feel like I need that question to be, so from the 20 minute estimate you gave, it's been 18 minutes. Do you think you'll be done in the 2 or do you, like that's if I haven't been watching the time, I don't know how long I've taken. So yeah. I'm like, have I gone over 20 minutes? Is it under 20 minutes? Like I it's just like, and I get quite I think, immediately flustered because I'm just like, fuck, have I been like 30 and I said I'd be 20? I think just telling me, just tell me how long it's been or how much I have left or if I've gone over before then asking, because it's just, because if it's 20 minutes and it's only been 10 and I still have 10, then I'm going to be like, oh no, I can totally get this done in that 20. But if I don't know that it's been only 10 minutes and I'm like, has it been 20 already? Oh my God, my estimate was so fucked.
Yeah, that's a really good point because, yeah, you're not staring at your phone or your clock. You're busy, you're working. So
yeah,
I see how that's helpful to be like, hey, your estimate's almost up. Do you need more time? How are you feeling?
Yeah.
You know, again, like just the communication of it all.
I think so.
Just talk.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think either. It's just like, I don't think there's anything wrong with in your question having some information. Like, I don't think the cast member's going to be like, oh, you said this would take 20 minutes. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm so all about.
It's not a secret.
I don't like to withhold information from anybody, cast or otherwise. Like, there's some AD teams or PAs that I've worked with that will kind of try to play this game of like, oh, well, we don't want them to know that like camera's ready because blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, listen, camera's ready. Are you ready? And if not, it's okay. But just tell me why and we can make it work. I don't like keeping estimates from people to like not ruffle feathers. I just think all of that is BS. It's like, tell people what's going on. We're all in this together. You're all coworkers. We'll make it work. But I hate when people are like, oh, I don't want to go there with the actor and I don't want to say that camera's ready because I don't want to stress it. It's like, stress them out. Get in there. What are you doing? Just tell them what's going on because it's the truth and that's all that really matters. So
yeah, I think they might have, there is a possibility that they don't want to say camera's ready because they may have had situations where the actor will just get up and walk out.
Yes, that's fair.
And it's just that, like, I haven't finished what I was doing. That's only only half your head is curled.
Wait, come back.
But
I try to use words like we're getting very close or, you know, I think camera's just about ready. How are you feeling? Like kind of try to play it like that of like a hint of, hey, time's almost up. They're going to ask me what's going on over here and I'm going to have to give an answer without inciting panic.
Yeah.
A fine line. It's a fine line.
Yeah. But yeah, Rachel would definitely be on my zombie apocalypse team.
Thank you. I think you're the first person to ever say that to me. So I'm honored.
No, I think you would organize the shit out of us. It would be great. And you just have common sense. And, you know, you just keep everybody smiling while they're killing zombies. It'd be great.
Thank you.
Anything else that you can think of that we can stop doing or start doing?
Oh, I think this is not just for hair and makeup specifically, but in general. Mm. And I've unfortunately noticed because you don't wear radios.
Mm.
When we're rolling, especially if we're on a stage.
Shut the fuck up.
Many times. Or people just walking in, like the doors, just slamming on the stage doors when we're rolling because they're like, we didn't know we were rolling and it's bright outside. We didn't see the red light. I'm like, okay, just having a little more self-awareness around set because sometimes that can ruin an entire take. So unfortunately, I hate to call you guys out, but a lot of times, let's say our makeup because you don't wear radios, so you don't hear the rolling and then you didn't see the red light and then you walk in and slam the door. So that's frustrating. And also just talking on set.
Yeah. I generally, I think, assume that the camera is rolling when I approach set. It doesn't matter if it's like on location or on a stage. I'm normally trying to approach with like, trying to catch anybody's eye to be like, are we rolling? Like, what's happening? And I'll kind
of typically approach.
Creep up. And then when I start hearing general chatter and noise, I'm like, oh, okay, we're fine. I can walk in. Because I don't want to walk in the back of shot or anything like that either. It's just like, you know, just be aware of your surroundings. But yeah, the talking while we're rolling, I know I've done that a few times in my lifetime, but most of the time, I'm just like, you have to shut up.
Yeah. Or people will say, there's no way they can hear me over here. What? I'm like, it's not about that. So maybe they can't. Maybe the boom isn't picking you up, but it's more just about, okay, we're rolling. We're in an environment that's quiet. Just wait. Just hold the conversation for a minute.
Yeah, you're not probably not talking about anything that important. I'll be sitting there and people will still be talking at me, and I'll just be like, I'm not having a conversation with you right now. Like, we're rolling.
Yeah.
I've just kind of shut down. Like, no, just stop.
Exactly.
Because I also don't want to then get yelled at because someone was talking at me. I'm like, no, I stopped talking.
I have no part in this.
It wasn't me.
It was not me. That's for everyone, though, not just hair makeup. I just, in general, it's like set etiquette. Just hold the conversation, pay attention, and you'll be fine.
I think it's interesting, too, and I also wonder why this happens, but I feel like on some sets, it's far more prevalent than others. Like,
totally.
And it's just like, what is it? Is it like a respect thing? Is it like, what is it that makes people, like the whole crew in general, feel like they can just keep chit-chatting and not listen?
Yeah, it is true. And I don't really know what it is, but there have definitely been movies or shows that I've been on that it's way worse than others. Mm. And I don't know. I think maybe you're right. Maybe it is kind of a respect thing for the director or, you know, whoever they feel the need to respect, but
yeah. And not even consciously, I don't think. It's not like everyone goes, oh fuck them.
Right.
They just don't have that kind of snap to attention of just like, oh fuck, we're rolling, shut up.
I think there are teams too, like I have noticed there are teams of people, not just in any department, that are very professional, and you can tell that they really care about their job and they're there because they want to be and they truly love it. And then there's teams that I think are kind of maybe jaded or just kind of over it and
just
don't
bitching
really
about
care.
Everything every 5 minutes.
Yeah. I'm like, why are you here? Go do something else, you know, if you don't want to be here. But I think the respect part a lot of times are those teams that are a little sharper. They love set, they love being there, they love their job.
Yeah.
And they're ready to work.
I know what I don't respond to is the sound shh.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't respond well to that because most of the time three people are making that noise at the same time. And I'm like, dude, you're being fucking louder than anybody right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're shush. And when someone makes that noise when you're rolling, I'm like, that noise probably picked up more than that person whispering over there. Like, what are you doing? Like, stop making that fucking noise.
I think it's best to just make eye contact and kind of do like a,
you know, rolling.
We're rolling face.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
But the
make the face.
I'm like,
see me, but I made the face. The we're rolling face.
But that shush noise, I'm just like, I feel like yelling, you shush.
I dare you to do it next time.
I'm pretty sure I probably have at times.
Probably.
But yeah. What else? Anything else? I feel like that's pretty...
I think that was my list of the pet peeves. I think we kind of went through all of the the things that suck.
Well, I have to say I am very happy that you were willing to join me and talk about this and kind of just put these things out there, because I'm hoping that some people listening will be like, oh, yeah, I'm guilty of that. Maybe I need to stop doing that. Or for the newbies who are coming in, they'll start off on a better grounding, better footing with their PA teams. So that's awesome. So thank you for joining me, Rachel.
Thank you for having me. I was so excited when you asked about this. Truly, I'm honored. So thank you so much.
Of course, lady. I appreciate you sharing your experiences and thanks for being awesome at what you do.
Aw, you too. Same to you.